The Father. The Father was a Talmud Chacham. He raised his family trying to raise children that are going to follow in his footsteps. The entire Rebbe dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, maybe more Bizman Hazeh than at other times in history, find the children don't necessarily follow in the footsteps of their parents. So the boy, from an early age already, was not so interested in learning. School didn't always go so well, wasn't always so interested, wasn't very motivated. High school became a little bit of a struggle. His parents, as you can imagine, as he was more interested in playing and more interested in cars and more interested in all these things and certainly than learning Torah. Eventually, he went to college. At that point, I imagine that the relationship he had with his father was probably pretty tense. And when it was getting close to the time that he was going to graduate from college, so his father said to him, "Listen, I want to get you a gift. I want to get you a present for graduating college. What do you want?" So he was honest. He told his father, "You know, would you really be willing to get me a car?" So the father said, "Okay." And graduation day came. They went to the whole graduation ceremony. And the father and the son get together to eat together at some fancy restaurant afterwards. And the boy is, of course, all excited. He's anticipating this, this gift. Finally, what he wants. And his father, at the end of his meal, brings out this gift-wrapped box. It's a little... Son is a little curious. What's the pshat with such a big box for a little kid? So he starts to open up the wrapping paper, opens up the box. Inside the box is a sefer. He's so mad. Takes the sefer, slams it down. He doesn't even know what to say to his father. He's so mad. Turns around, stomps out of the restaurant, and doesn't talk to his father. Mamash, not again. Years go by, certainly for the father, years of pain, years of sadness, years of distance. And eventually, unfortunately, the son finally gets word that his father died. So what's he going to do? You know, his mother's still, whatever, his family, whatever his situation exactly was, he's going to go home, he's going to sit Shiva. So he goes home. After Shiva, so they're going through some of the father's things, and the son looks on the shelf. So guess what he sees on the shelf?
That sefer
is sitting covered in dust. But that sefer, he recognizes it. It's on the shelf. It's out of a sense of tremendous sadness and perhaps feeling that he really disappointed his father and maybe even failed himself. He goes to the shelf and he pulls it up, brushes off the dust and the tears in his eyes. He opens it up. What did my father inscribe? What did he write in that sefer that he wanted me to have? And as he opens it up, something falls to the floor. There was the key to the car. So Chevron, the sefer is our sleepless. That it's the kind of thing that it's a struggle. Not the kind of thing we want to do, not just because we don't always understand it, but also because it means that there's a tshuva that we have to do. But nonetheless, it's something that when we engage in properly, so hopefully we'll be able to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that's a little bit sooner in the case of that boy. I'll tell you something unbelievable. Rav Soloveitchik had a very interesting answer to a question that everybody asked. How many shofar blasts are you supposed to hear on Rosh Hashanah? 100 blasts! So why 100? So you know what the Gemara says? Gemara says because those correspond to the cries of the mother of Sisera. You know who Sisera was? Sisera was the Goyish general who was trying to destroy Klal. So he wanted to sack Yerushalayim. He wanted to to conquer Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. What? So we have 100 blasts to respond to the cries of his mother? Well, first of all, what's the case? And second of all, why in the world are we trying to correspond to the cries of the mother of this Russia? So I'll tell you what the Soloveitchik said, or just from Rivka. Usually, when Sisera would go out to battle, so he would come home, however long it took after the battle, with spoils. And his mother, of course, is very excited to see him come home. What did you get me today? This day, if you remember the whole story, that's the story with Yael. A mistake in the head. He wasn't coming home. But of course, his mother didn't know what happened. So she's anxiously anticipating his return. And she's looking out on the horizon, and there's nowhere, you know, there's no dust coming up from the army that she doesn't see him coming. So she starts to get a little nervous, you know, like maybe something's wrong. Anxiety. So she starts, you know, groaning a little bit. And of course, her family, the people around her notice, and they reassure her. And they say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Not only should you not be worried about it, you should just know that the reason he's late is probably because there's so much spoils from war that it's taking a long time to gather it all up and come back. It's actually a positive. But then it takes more time. She realizes that something is wrong. And she begins to cry. Slow cries. And sure enough, a little while later, the messengers come back and they report to her that her son is dead. Then she begins to just break down and just wail and wail and wail and wail. So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's the bless of the shofar. That the tekiah is the groan. Because the shofar represents the process of tshuva that we're entering in on. So it begins with a sense that maybe we're not okay. Maybe. But the Yetzirah comes and shores that up. No, no, no. You're trying. You're a tzaddik. And then we realize, as time goes by, and some tshuva, and shoshana, things are not necessarily so good. Until finally, Mir Tzashem, we finally come to Kippur, and we really are beating ourselves up. So hopefully come to the realization that we really, really have a lot of work to do. And we really come to a real breakdown, and we realize that we need to reconstruct ourselves from the beginning. Those are the 100 blasts, specifically Ein Sisera. That approach where it begins with like a groan, it becomes like a little cry, and eventually just becomes like a total breakdown into tears. That's ultimately the true one.
I'm not supposed to ask a question for you on Rosh Hashanah, right?
Right. We don't really do Rosh Hashanah.
What's the significance of the shofar blast then? Because like,
okay, so
why on Rosh Hashanah do we do it? And
I want to speak about it, but I have a lot to say about it. So we'll believe that. Remind me during the week. We'll spend one of the Sharon Blinetta this week before Shana on the whole Mahalach and what's going on, not just Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah, Seder Yom Teshuva, Yom Kippur, and then how that feeds into Sukkot too. It's a whole big picture, and it's a Mahalach. So I really want to try to give that across. Okay, but in any case, so that was introduction to Slichos. I want to share a fascinating idea with you that hopefully mechazeg us in the process. That's the key word here. In the process of tshuva, that's peeling off layers that divide and separate between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because ultimately that's what we want to do. We want to peel off those layers until we are able, in a positive sense, to really break down and reconstruct ourselves from the beginning. So this is going to come totally out of left field. But that's okay. Torah sometimes is like that. So open up your chumash. The parashas Kisaytze. It's Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Ches. Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Ches. So it says, Hishamar B'nai Gatzeras. Be careful if you have one of those Tzeras marks. Right? So this is an interesting halakha. I don't know how many times you've done Mishnayos in the Negoyim. You know, when you go to Mishnayos, when you're learning it for something else, you encounter it. So the Mishnayos are like, details about things that are not so relevant to me. You have a person has a negatarax, and it's two white hairs. It's tummy. And he's got big troubles. Not white hair anyway. I mean, there's a different one. There's also kind of stress in the hair. But let's say a person on the skin has one of these marks, right? And has two white hairs. So the two white hairs are a sign that it's tummy. Now, we know that if a person really has stress, this is a big deal, right? Sometimes it makes a mikdash. Not only did he have to go outside the camp, not only needs to see tummy everywhere he goes, not only does he have to shave off all the hair on his body, but he has to go to the mikvah, and then he's got to put a carbon before he can even, I mean, this is a big deal. This is not a, this is a real serious malach, right? This is not something that you want to go through, right? So, I have an idea. You take your tweezers. Yeah, that two white hairs, right? What's the story of one right here? No problem. We're all Jews, man. We're looking for loopholes. Pull that hair out. Just get rid of it. Fuck it out.
And two new ones grow.
Maybe.
Cut out.
You cut out the whole thing. You could do that too. This pasuk, Hishamer b'negat zaras. According to the halacha, what that means is that it's an iser to do that. In other words, it's a good idea. I know what you're thinking. But you're not allowed to remove the sign, whatever it is about that zaras, that makes it tummy. You have to lishmor ma'od velasos kechasher yoru eschem hakohanim halavim. You have to follow what they tell you. Kasher tzivisim tishmor lasos, whatever they tell you. So, what I commanded them. So you have to guard to do.
Is this for your own good in a way? It's like, you know, it's like just more of a most serve to yourself. So therefore, why are you trying to pay for it?
Good. Legit. How does that pasuk connect to the next one? Remember, there, if you take a look at these pasukim, ches and tes are bookended by what? What are the bookends there, you see? Just in the Chumash. How do I know that these two pasukim are a unit? What do we call it?
Semicolon. No.
What's the sound of mean?
Wait, I know it. Wait.
Some word is called.
I got it.
It means like closed up, right? Close.
There's a word for it.
Yeah, I know that. Sasum is to be closed up. This is called a stuma. A stuma. Psucha and stuma. So this is a stuma. So there are stumos that mamish designate these two psukim as a unit, which is fascinating because that means there's some connection between the two of these things, right? So you ready for this? What's the next pasuk? Who can read it to me? Yeah, what does it say? Zachor what? Hashem Elokecha l'Miriam. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam on the way when you were going out. Taras. Ooh, interesting. Okay, so number one, the Chumash says, don't remove a negat taras. Don't play games with it. And then it says, remember what Hashem did to Miriam. So you're saying, Hashem gave Miriam taras. So, Pasha Jack, so what would you say? What's the explanation? Why are these two things being connected?
Because it shows that holy people can get taras also.
That what?
Holy people can get taras.
That holy people can get taras. Even a person like Miriam. So why the two? What does that have to do with being careful about the nega?
I don't know. I haven't gone back on what I said before. It could be a good thing to yourself. It's like working as by yourself as a person.
Okay.
Maybe saying be careful of the action before the nega. She wasn't careful enough.
Wow. We have two very different shatim here. Okay. So Julian's mahalach is what? How would you summarize it? So how does that connect to Miriam?
So it connects to Miriam by showing it, don't worry, not only us regular Jews, but also Tzaddikim. Tzaddik is what I call
them. Okay.
Can get to us.
And Idan, was your chat?
I was thinking that Hashem b'negat taras, he's saying watch out maybe from that the whole problem is taras. Because if even Miriam got it, you should watch out.
Okay. First things first, Rashi. Rashi, if you see it in Pasuk Ches, Rashi says, Yishamar b'nega tzaras. So he just says what I told you, tuma. Don't pull out or remove the signs of tuma, and don't cut off completely the baharis, you know, the mark. Yehuda, I think what you had said, they cut it off, right? Baharis is one of the types of nega tzaras.
Just get it out of there.
Referred to as a baharis. A nega tzaras, a mark of tzaras. Okay. Now, Rashi then says, you see this? Zachar Esa Sherasa Vegomer Lemiriam. Rashi is clearly bothered by the connection between the two. And what does he say? You see it? Imbaasala has, like, he's Zahir. Shelo til kebet saras. If you want to be careful that you don't get saras, al tisaper, don't say what? Lashon hara. Zachor asui lemiriam. Remember that which was done to Miriam. She dibra be'achia. She spoke about her brother. Velaksa b'negayim, and she ended up getting a nega saras. So Rashi is saying that the remember saras is there because if you have one already, so this is what you need to do. You don't play games with it. And if you want to avoid it in the first place, so then don't say Lashon Hara. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam, that he gave her to rest.
Wait, what is not having to play games with that to do with Miriam?
So what's Rashi saying? There are two different points.
Yeah.
If you have one already, then I'm telling you what to do about it. But if you want to not get it in the first place, then don't say Lashon Hara, and you don't even have to worry about it.
So it's two,
it's addressing saras. One is, if you got it already, you have to relate to it in a specific way. You're not allowed to make it go away, you know, artificially. And the second point is, you want to avoid getting it in the first place. Don't say Lashon Hara. You don't have to worry about it in the first place.
They're both connected, right? The two
subject? That's how Rash is connecting us.
So,
okay. We probably would have wanted it to be in the reverse order, no?
No, because if you're saying...
Don't say Lashon Hara, and you won't get it. But if you got one, you better do what I tell you.
Let's say he's saying if you got one, then make sure not to plug it out. And then he goes and says, remember Miriam. What does remembering Miriam have to do with not plugging it out?
It doesn't exactly. That's what Rashi's saying. If you want to not get one at all,
then
that by remembering Miriam, you won't get one at all. And that's, of course, the theory of Chofetz Chaim, famously, right? That's what he quotes in Eshmeres. I'll ask you another place. This is one of the main sources for the prohibition of Lashon Hara, remember Miriam, right? Good? Okay, you ready for this? It's an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara appears in Zevachim, Kuf Aleph HaMebez, Kuf Beis HaMadalef, so you can look it up if you want. It says like this, Miriam, Mihisugira. Miriam, who closed her up? You know what it means, Hisugira? It means that if a person, the Kohen, looks at the Nega, and says, oh, this one's a problem, so where do they have to go? Outside the camp. So that's called hesker, to close them up, to put them away outside the camp. Right, so Miriam Mihiskira asks the Gemara, who did that to Miriam? Im tomar Moshe. If you'll say, well, Moshe did, why would you say Moshe did? Okay, so let's chazer. Can we chazer this for a second? What parsha is that in when this happens to Miriam? Anybody know? What? What? I don't know, where is it? You know, there's like a... What's like a big parsha of like main Lashon Hara of like Klal Yisrael? What did Klal Yisrael say like Lashon Hara about? So... Why was it? He said they were punished so terribly because they should have learned the lesson that Miriam said to Saras. And they didn't learn that lesson. They said, Lashon Hara to Yisrael. So where, what parsha is the Maragon? Parsha is
Maragon.
Shalach. So what's the parsha right before? You know, they asked the what was it? The Vilna Gaon had a brother? No. The Rav Chaim Volozhiner had a brother who apparently had like a photographic memory. And so they asked Reb Chaim Volozhiner, what's the difference between your brother and the Vilna Gaon in terms of the way they think? You heard this?
I know this story.
So he answered them, because my brother has like a photographic memory. He remembers everything like forwards. But Vilna Gaon knew everything backwards, just as well as he knows forwards. You heard this? So it's like, what's the pasuk before Poseach Hasyadecha? Our brains think like the next one. That's how he summed it up. So what's before Shlach? Ba'aloscha. So at the end of Parshas Ba'aloscha is where this appears. So flip to that. Bamidbar, Perek Yud Beis. What exactly happened over here? This is an unbelievable parsha. It's so confounding when you try to learn. So you with me? You have it? Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis. It says, by Tadaber Miriam Aaron ben Moshe. Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe alodosa isha kushis asher lakach, about the kushi woman that he took. Ki isha kushis lakach, because he took a kushi woman. The yomru harak ach b'moshe diber. Does Hashem only speak in Moshe? Halu gam banu diber. Hashem also speaks in us. We're also prophets, just like Moshe is a prophet. So according to Chazal, it doesn't explain the pasuk. What in the world is going on over here? So one approach is that Moshe Rabbeinu had basically separated himself from his wife, and they didn't understand why he needed to do that, and so they were being critical of Moshe Rabbeinu, assuming that he had done this on his own. Why does he need to separate from his wife? We're Nevi'im. We don't have to separate from our spouse.
How does that show that, though? What they said doesn't sound like that.
Right. What does it mean? Kuhi, tiki, kuhi, what's going on over here? Okay.
Sorry, I won't. If you want to answer me, because it might be irrelevant.
Okay.
Aren't there extra words? Why does it say they spoke about Moshe since he took a kushi woman?
Which is what he did.
Kushi woman.
Yeah, totally repetitive.
I don't get that one.
Right. Okay, but you're right. I'm not going to deal with it now. Yeah. Because away from the topic I want to get involved in, I'm going to pick you on. But you're right. Totally repetitive. And then it says, so their criticism is about Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is the parsha that actually describes what is unique about Moshe Rabbeinu. So we know that the Rambam says that one of the 13 principles of faith is that Moshe Rabbeinu was totally unique in the quality of his nevuah, right? He's av l'chol ha-nevi'im. So this is the parsha that describes it. But for now, point is, what happened as a result? Vayomer Hashem pisam ha-moshe v'aron l'mirim tishlosh techem al-ohol moed. Go out to the ohol moed, the three of you. Yetishlosh them, all of them went out. So all you have now is, by the Mishkan, is Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. No one else is there. But Yirat Hashem ba'amud anan. Hashem descends, so to speak, in a pillar of cloud. Vayamar Pesach ha-ohel, and a pillar of cloud stood at the opening to the ohel moed, the Mishkan. Yikra Aaron and Miriam, and he called to Aaron and Miriam, v'yetu shneihem, and the two of them go out. V'yomer, Shimuna Devarai. Listen to what I have to say. Imiyan neviyacham Hashem, if you are prophets of Hashem, which you are, v'mar'ah, elaves vada, I speak to you in a vision, v'chalom adaberbo, like a dream, I speak to you in a dream. Lo chen avdi Moshe, that's not the way I speak to Moshe. V'chol beis ne'eman, who he has trusted in my entire house. Doesn't sound parallel, but what's going on over here? I'll have to talk of Pel Pada Berbo. I speak to him mouth to mouth. Umar Evelo Bechidos, with a vision and not with riddles. Usmunas Hashem Yabit. He sees some kind of vision of Hashem. Umaduelo Yerezim Adebra Abdi Moshe. Why are you not afraid to speak about my servant Moshe? Okay, so that's where it sums up what's unique about Moshe Rabbeinu, which I did not explain at all, and I know I'm steamrolling you on that, but can't learn Kol HaTorah Kul all at once. Rechaav Hashem Bam. Hashem got. I'll say it like this. Hashem expressed anger at them, v'yelach, and he, so to speak, went away. V'he'anon sar me'al ha'ohel. The cloud, the pillar of cloud, was removed from on the ohel. V'hine Miriam mitzoras kashalek. And behold, Miriam was a mitzora like white snow. Vayifen Aaron el Miriam. Aaron turns to Miriam, because he didn't know that. It's just telling us reality. Now it's telling us that he noticed it. He turns to Miriam, behine mitzoras, and behold, she was a mitzoras. Now, it's interesting to call her a mitzoras, because let's say a person has a negatzoras. Are they a mitzora yet? What has to happen? It has to. It's actually a, what do you call it? When the doctor, what do you call it?
Diagnosis.
It's because Aaron was gone. Okay, good. But he didn't do anything yet. He didn't say anything yet. So there has to be a spiritual diagnosis. Once the Kohen says, oh, that's a negatzeras, then the person becomes a metzorah. But before that, it's a mark. In fact, do you remember what it says in the parsha? That a person goes to the Kohen and says, kanega nirali. I see something like a nega, because I can't designate it. You have to designate it. But in any case, Miriam turns to her, and behold, she's a mitzorah. So it's calling her a mitzorah, even though she shouldn't really be it, technically. That's what we would have said, right? It means that, but it's just a technical thing. But then why does it call her mitzorah?
Why couldn't he diagnose it? Why couldn't it just have been diagnosed
on the spot? Because he has to say something.
He has to tell her.
He has to say it. That's a nega.
Declaration.
Yeah. Vayomer Aharon el Moshe. So Aharon doesn't say anything to Miriam. He turns to Moshe, and I don't want to be crude. You know, he freaks out. Bi Adoni, al nos hashesh elinu chatas. You know, please, my master, don't view us like we've done a sin. Hashem noalnu v'asher chatanu, which we say, of course, you know, this is this time of year. Hashem noalnu v'asher chatanu, that we've sinned. To get very cryptic, what's he saying? Don't view it like we sinned, that which we sinned. Don't let her be like a dead, like dead. Dead? Who's dead? Asher b'tseiso meirechem imo, that when she goes out, or when a person goes out from the womb of his mother, v'yeachel chatzi v'saro, and half of his flesh is eaten. Probably the most cryptic line in all of Chumash. What is he saying? But whatever it is, apparently he was really upset and really disturbed. And he wants Moshe Rabbeinu apparently to do something about it. What's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do about it? Like, what? Vayitzak Moshe l'Hashem le'mor. Moshe screams out to Hashem saying, Kael na Hashem now. Rifa na la. Please heal her. Very strange interaction. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. So Hashem responds to Moshe. Va'avia yarok yarak b'faneha. If her father would spit in her face, halusik aleim shivas yamim, would she not be humiliated for 7 days? Tisagir shivas yamim mechutz l'machane, therefore she should be locked out for 7 days outside the camp, v'char teyaseif, and then she should be brought in. V'tisagir miriam mechutz l'machane shivas yamim, so she was sent out from the camp for 7 days, v'am lo nasa ad heyaseif miriam, and the nation didn't travel until she was gathered back in. And then they traveled from Chatzeros and they went to Midbar Par. Okay, so what just what just happened here? So, was she a Mitzorah or was she not a Mitzorah? Aaron never passed in her Nega. No one seems to ever have passed in her Nega. When Moshe Rabbeinu davened Hashem should heal her, it sounds like an issue of healing, not an issue of Tzeres. And Hashem responds by saying what?
Well, if her father would spit in her face, wouldn't she, like, lock herself in her room for a week?
So you know what?
She should lock herself in her room for a week.
So apparently, the giving her tzeras was Hashem's way of, so to speak, spitting in her face, and therefore her humiliation would result in her locking herself in her room. She has tzeras! Of course she has to go out for 7 days! That's the halacha! Does she not have tzeras?
I mean, maybe.
You're not asking, right?
To teach all of us.
Maybe Hashem just needed so blatantly obvious that she was Ross, and it wasn't even a question.
But then why don't you just go through the regular technical process? Go to the Kohen. Why does Hashem have to get involved at all? Hashem should just say, let her go through the process. This is what you do.
Is he really going to show them, like, well, that they did something wrong?
She did. She got Ross.
Yeah, I know, but he wanted to be very serious and not, and like, say, like, and show how bad it was, especially for her, and he made it, I mean, he made it that it wasn't even, like, a question whether she had Ross. She had Tzeras for sure. Like, didn't have to evaluate it.
Okay. I feel it's in the opposite direction. That it almost makes it sound like she doesn't have Tzeras. And Hashem has to get involved because she really doesn't. So, yeah. Yeah, like, what's going on at all, right? What is going on here? Okay, so back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Miriam Nihiskira. Who was Masgir Miriam? Im Tomar Moshe Hisgira. If you say Moshe did it, why would you suggest Moshe did it? Well, because the only one that's involved here is Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And Moshe is like davening to Hashem, and Hashem is telling Moshe, send her out of the camp. So maybe Moshe was the one that sent her out of the camp. He did, right? Moshe Zarhu. Moshe's not a Kohen, he's a Levi. He's a Zar. Ve'in Zar roes anegoyim. He can't paskin a nega. So that's regardless, it can't be Moshe. Okay, good. Ve'im tomer, if you'll say, well, I mean, come on, so who did it? Obviously. Aaron. Well, the pasuk just doesn't say it, I guess, but he was the one that actually did it. Yeah? Aaron karovhu. Aaron was a relative. Ve'ein karov roes hanegoyim. A relative is not allowed to paskin a relative's nega.
Yeah.
It's the machlokas in the mission of goyim, but
like,
this
like
more is possible.
Like a doctor can't like evaluate his own relative also, right?
Well, there's an issue of like a son doing like surgery on his father. Is that like a problem or not? That's an interesting thing. But here it's like a din. Because here you have like a judgment on a person, so it sounds like similar to that you can't judge or be witness, all those kinds of things for a relative, so this probably is at least on some level related to that. Okay, so then we're stuck. They were only, those were the only people there. Did someone else maybe get involved over here?
She's a nami.
Everyone else is a relative too, by the way. Who are the Kohanim? Our own sons. Guess what? They're related to. So you're stuck. Ela kavod gadol, chalak la kadosh baruch la Miriam. Kavod gadol, a great honor Hashem gave to Miriam. What an honor. Honor, that's the word of the Gemara. Julian, you listening to this? This is along the lines, I think, of your original pshat. That's where I'm headed. Kavod gadol, chalak la kadosh baruch la Miriam. Osesha, at that time, ani kohen. Hashem says, I'm a kohen. Vani masgira, and I'm going to send her out. Ani cholta, and I'm going to make the decision that she can come back. Vani potra, and I exempt her from everything from Tzeretz.
It's less of a punishment than a regular person being Tzeretz. If Hashem's controlling it, it's less of a punishment.
It's like, well, okay, so we'll have to discuss that. But it's certainly not regular Tzeretz, it seems like. I mean, this is a strange Gemara, no? Hashem's making himself into a coin so he can pass in Miriam's nega?
Yeah.
What? So, okay, so do you want to try and figure out what Tosa's question is?
Yeah.
Think about it for a minute. If she doesn't have anyone to paskin the nega, so what's the status of her tzeras? So is it a problem? What's the status of a nega before the Kohen says anything?
So you're saying
it's nothing.
So you're saying don't try to take out the hairs. Even when Miriam didn't have
to... You're jumping steps. I'm not ready for that yet. Patience. But what's the question on the Gemara? Why does Hashem have to do anything? What's going? Why is Aaron so upset? What in the world is going on? So if there's no Kohen, then what's the problem? So Tosa says it like this: Aaron karovu vein karov roes anegoyim. He's a relative. He says machlokas in negoyim. Next Tosfos says, "Ani maskira, ani cholta, ani potra." B'sifrei Tanya, the Sifrei has quotes the following brisa: "Amar Aram nimtzis ma'afsi lachosenu." It comes out that we're causing a big problem to our sister. She'ena yochal haskira, v'lo letama v'lo letara. Can't send her out of the camp. I can't make her tame. Can't be matar her. In other words, Tosfos is the Medrash is learning. This is exactly what Aram was saying to Moshe. Disaster! What are we going to do? And she's like dead. Her body's half covered in tzeras. What are we going to do? Lefi d'rar of Levanu, Shahay Aaron Doresh, Ein Adam Roa B'nigay Karovo, V'tema. I don't understand the whole thing. But Mehaya Mafsida, what's the big loss? What's the problem? Had Ein Adam Roa S'anigoyim. So there's no one to see her nega. So Kol Shekein Shahay said Tahora. So she's Tahora. What's the problem? And Tosfos, as they say, in the world of the yeshivas, blibes shver. Blib means remains. Shver, difficult. He doesn't answer the question. So you have an answer? What's bothering Aram? What's bothering the Gemara? What is going on over here? So everything's fine. I don't even know why she got tzeras in the first place. I don't know what this is about anymore. I am totally confused and lost. Comes along the Nitziv. Maybe I'll just summarize it. He has a lot of details here, so if you ever want to go through it, he works this out like with details. But the basic gist of what he says is that what's bothering Aaron is that Miriam did an Avera that requires kapara. And the Lashon Hara that she said, and the fact that she got a nega as a result, means that in order for her to get the proper kapara from Hashem, she has to go through that process of being a mitzvah. Because a person says Lashon Hara, and he gets a nega, it's Hashem's way of telling him, you need to take yourself outside the camp for a minute. You need to take yourself away from society. You have to appreciate people. You have to understand humanity.
It's isolation.
It's for evaluation, time to reflect. And it's a process. That's the key word. And in order to atone for that, a person has to go through that process. And it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, I hate you. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, I love you. And I want you to fix yourself. You have to go through this process. Dude, does anyone want to go through that process? But is there any way to get kapara if you don't go through the process? No. So what's bothering Aaron, says the Netziv? What's going to be with Miriam? I understand that no one can paskin her nega, so she's tahora. That's a bigger disaster. Because how is she going to get kapara? She's going to be dead. She's going to be spiritually dead. What's going to be? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll be the Kohen. I'll paskin the nega. I'll send her out. I'll tell her when it's time to come back in. What's the nuance there?
She's like a role model for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Even though she doesn't have anything, God's telling her to go and reflect on yourself even though you don't have anything. You can be the role model there.
He's showing that that's a process that you have to go through. But what did Hashem do for Miriam?
An example,
but what did he do for Miriam in terms of Tzaras? Right. He made an artificial Tzaras process for Miriam. I mean, seriously? I mean, we're talking about the tzedekis of history, if that's true. That Hashem, for Miriam, made her own tzaras process so she could get kapara? Are you hearing this? Hashem gives systems. Hashem gives a process. If you messed it up, you messed it up. It's your problem. No. Kavod gadol chalak l'Miriam. That's what the Gemara said. Kavod gadol. Yeah, wow. Hashem made an artificial mitzora process for Miriam that she should be able to have kapara. Back up. Back up to the beginning of this year. Right? So you were thinking. Pasuk says, Hishomer b'nega hatzeras. And the Netziv says, Rashi writes, as we learned, that you should be careful, you have to treat the nega correctly, it's a halacha. If you want to avoid getting teras in the first place, don't say Lashon Hara. Says it's talking about the dinim, the details of teras. Be careful about the nega. Remember what I did to Miriam? So Rashi says it's two separate points. Netziv says, I don't know, I think you could read it totally differently. Imagine it says the following. Be careful, don't remove that nega. Remember what I did to Miriam. Don't play games with that nega. Remember what I did to Miriam. The remember what I did to Miriam is the predicate of the sentence. If you remember what I did to Miriam, you won't play games with that nega. Why not? Because if you remember what I did to Miriam, we started off saying, means I gave her tzaras. What's the Netziv's pshat? What did Hashem do to Miriam? He gave her, created an artificial mitzvah process for Miriam. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam, not that he gave her tzaras. He gave her a process that never should have existed. So if a person thinks, I'm going to take this nega and I'm going to pluck out a hair, what's he failing to appreciate?
The actual process.
The whole process itself. That's a process he has to go through. See, if he remembers what Hashem did to Miriam, and he realizes that the processes of kapara that we need to go through, they're going to be painful, and they're not going to be pleasant. But when a person takes that process to heart, and he integrates, and he thinks about how I need to peel apart these layers that are between me and Hashem, and I have to think about what I'm doing, and I have to go through slichas, and I have to go through the process, so remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam. Those processes are critical for us to be able to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's sad that this doesn't exist today.
We have sleeves? We have
clothes. Yeah,
it's unbelievable, right? When you think about it that way. Julian wants Suraz. I mean, not personally to get it, Pastor John. He wants the process to exist.
I do have one white gray hair that grows on my.
Really?
That's not
so. I'm hoping.
No, maybe if it existed, we wouldn't talk as much.
Yeah, right. I think that's probably true, right? We would be scared.
Yeah. We're too close. We're too close to the garden without Hashem being here. It's impossible. Hashem was with them back in the day. He stayed young.
So yes, those are Ramban, you know, writes these things. That there are certain things that
good time to work out.
Sounds it here?
No, listen, man. The Chumash is waiting for you.
Okay.
There's certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us when we have a very special relationship. And when that relationship is not so close, so then that it doesn't exist in the same way. So yeah, in a very major way, what a zuchus it would be to be able to have Taraz in the world.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty unbelievable thing to say. Sota, you know, to be able to have that type of thing, or cutting with such a nace, an automatic nace, is like, requires a madrega of closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's the bottom line? So both Julian and Idan are both correct. You both have different shatim, both chew on different levels, but both obviously both correct. Rashi's pshat was that Hishamar Benega Tzeras, everyone agrees what that means, Alfi Halacha. And the question is, what is Zachar as Asher Asa Hashem Lekech Miriam, what does that come to do? What's the point? So Rashi says, Bashim Chan, we want to avoid getting to Goyim at all. Don't say Lashon Hara. And Nesiv says, no. It's in the same parsha. It has those sumos in the beginning and end because it's exactly the point. That if you remember what Hashem did to Miriam, not that he gave her Tzeras, but he created an artificial process for her to get Kapara, so then you're not going to come to violate Hishomer the Nega HaTzeras. You won't come to violate mistreating the Nega in the first place. That is the Slichos message that I leave you with, that I know we all find Slichos challenging, and the whole process of Rosh Yom Kippur, which Blineder Josh will discuss as we go, but keep in mind that it is a process. It means that every time we say Slichos, we shouldn't view it as like, oh, nachas slichas, nachas, another one. But we need to view it as peeling away layers between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that every time we say it, we're just getting a little bit closer and ripping off one of those layers of dead skin. It eventually reveals the lev basar that really has the emotions that ultimately, like the Rav said, in terms of those tekios and ein sisra, that we're able to come to tears, able to approach the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we really need to recreate ourselves. Mirtz Hashem, on Yom Kippur, that's the type of thing that we do, where we just are totally a recreated entity. That's what Chazal said during those days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, where Mamash have no avers. No avers whatsoever. Kenya Hirachay, Shekayach.
That does give me some.